Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. I'm here with Soccer Takes with AK, Roger, and Namdi. And we're probably going to have a few others join us as we record. But guys, how are we feeling? How's your weekends been?
Arsenal fans should go first at the top of the table.
How's your weekend been?
Totally fair.
My weekend has been good, man. I woke up early, excited. And then I took a nap after, and then I woke up refreshed. The day has started again. And I just stayed offline, you can't go into Twitter and then all the fans are panicking. Everyone's panicking. I've got 100 friends pinging me, telling me, oh, we're bottling the title. I just got to disassociate for the day, but I'm back. I'm feeling hopeful and I had a good weekend.
I like that. Namdi, what about you? Namdi here?
That boy is not.
Namdi, if you're talking, you're on mute. I guess he's not here. But for me, kind of like you, Roger, I woke up Saturday morning feeling very, very hopeful. I actually woke up pretty early. Normally, when I wake up for 7 a.m. games, I actually don't get off my bed. I just like lay down and watch it. But I was kind of hopeful. I stood up. I went out to my living room and turned on my TV. And I actually sat down, brought cereal and bread. I was eating. I was watching the game, but after the first half, everything just turned sour, man. That Loki set a bad precedent for me. That morning, everything just started falling apart. Arsenal lost. City won. Chelsea didn't lose. Everything I wanted to happen. Everything that could go wrong on Saturday went wrong for me, honestly. But just like you, this morning I woke up feeling better, like thinking about everything, like the bigger picture and whatnot.
The bigger picture is that we're still the best team in the league.
True. also, Villa is a tough team. I think we need to get our high horses.
Since
you guys sacked Emery has a vendetta against you. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah, even besides that, these guys are third in the league. They are a very, very good team with enough depth. And they are a team that have known how to play us for a long time. It's not the first time they've beaten us.
They know how to play us now. Like, but I think it's Emery. I don't think it's just Arsenal. Like, it's definitely Emery.
Yeah, also,
you guys fired him too early. You guys would have won titles by now if you kept him. But sorry for another day.
No. What are you saying? Titles?
I think Emery's an amazing coach, but I don't think that's an amazing coach. And
he's not a good coach for Arsenal. That's what I always said. He was a good coach as well.
Yeah, but regardless of that, I think he's an amazing coach. I think he's one of the best. But the reason why we've not won the league is because we've gone up against Pep Guardiola, and Man City has been better than Arsenal. Simple. We've not been as good. I don't think Emery would have taken Arsenal to one up City at their peak when they won the treble. I doubt it. So,
okay, guys. Well, this is Soccer Takes with AK. I think my first time in the group conversation like this. First of all, let me sing my song. Alhamdulillah, praise to God, no matter your condition. Everybody has the first blow. You understand? That's Arsenal fans right now, man. I want to know, you know, right now, Lewis Kelly, Simba, Inkape, else again, help me out, Naruja. Else again,
is Calvin Fiore.
No, Capoli is injured. Where is injured? He's not fully fit.
What do you mean? What do you mean he's injured?
He's not fully fit.
I mean, he can play. He's playing.
There's a chance that he might not play next game.
He's playing. Kelly Fury is he's fine. I haven't heard anything about him.
Did he play last game?
Yeah, yes, he did.
He did. He came off. He came off after. Came off.
Okay.
So he came off, around the 70th minute.
And on Ben White, right? So you only have those five guys right now. So let's see. But it's a good weekend. I didn't lose. You know,
who do you support? I am
your club world champion. So let's leave it at that.
My gosh,
Chelsea fans are the worst.
Oh my god, they are.
I feel like they are nothing more than Man U fans.
I despise Chelsea fans. Actually,
it's okay.
I'm not even joking.
It's okay, I don't. My big brother, your big brothers, you have to hit them sometimes. It's
that my gosh.
Life is like that. But anyways, it's a good weekend. It's a good weekend. I didn't lose, even though I have my own comments about my game.
Was it a scoreless draw?
Was a scoreless draw, yeah.
Because your team is a waste of space, man.
You want to talk? Wait. It's 3 points. It's 2 points now behind City, bro. You can't even talk, man. Like, that's
why it's not going to be consistent. Your defense is just having a good run right now, but yeah, I don't think that's going to be consistent throughout the year.
We'll get a chance to talk about everything.
I hate that we couldn't play our normal game when we played Chelsea, because you guys would have understood there's quite a bit of real distance between the clubs when our two center backs are fit. And that's how we control the play and control our attack and dominate the game. We did not have them. The next game is going to be so different.
I'm not disputing that. As of right now, there's distance between the two teams. That's fair enough.
Is
it five, 6 years?
Okay, so you're a reasonable man.
And then Maresca's out 2 years with Chelsea. But the fact is, on that day, I played Arsenal Football Club. I didn't play Arsenal Beats. I played Arsenal Football Club. And even your Arsenal legends, Thierry Henry and Cole, they said it, that, listen, we were like not at our best. And if you're not at your best, credit to the other team that played better.
Case closed. Okay.
That's fair. Anyway, Nnamdi's back. Nnamdi, how was your weekend as a Manchester fan?
Okay, you know.
Roger, like this.
We won our game. The other team is still playing tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I'm a fan of Manchester. I play twice every weekend.
Manchester what? To let us know.
What do you mean?
Manchester what?
I'm a fan of Manchester, the city.
Manchester City, city before.
The city. The city itself.
Yes.
So he supports every club
team, everything there I represent.
So you're United and City fan.
Exactly.
That is diabolical, bro.
I've never heard this in my life.
How down bad can you be in life, man?
I've never heard this in my life. You can't be United and City fan. This is the first time I've ever heard that in my life.
There's a first time for everything.
That's funny. Yo.
I think we have Sam now.
The major reason I'm a City fan is because of Haaland. Haaland is my best player. So when he moved there, I moved there with him.
I can understand that part.
If he leaves, then I will stop supporting City. But until then, I'm a fan of Manchester.
All right. Sam, welcome. Sam, how's your weekend been?
Great weekend, man. I can't even explain to you how wonderful it was. It's so great. I had a great time. I'm still having a great time.
Okay. All right.
What
anyway,
about you?
Don't worry about me. I already talked about how sad my weekend has been. But it's cool. Now let's actually start with Chelsea Bournemouth. So anyway, I know we spoke about this Arkan earlier. We both got our predictions very, very wrong. Maybe not in terms of how intense the match was and everything. But so I guess so Chelsea fans, let's start with you, Sam. What do you think the issue was?
I think the issue is what I've kind of explained on the pod earlier. Is going to be Chelsea's inconsistencies throughout the season. There's going to be rotations, there's going to be fatigue, there's going to be injuries, and that all culminates in a very like haphazard performance, which is what the team did. They couldn't get their passes together, they couldn't string consistent amount of pressure on Bournemouth. We even got lucky on a couple of occasions. I think they had one of their goals was offside, barely. It was just offside. And then the other one was, they had like, I think Evan Nilsson had the chance to like tap it in, although the ball came at him really quickly and kind of like just touched it away. But
the Sanchez save though.
So it's just going to be, it's kind of going to be Chelsea's story this season where, you know, fatigue, injuries, inconsistencies with players leaving based on injuries, players coming back from injury, a la Cole Palmer and Delap, the former. So that's just going to be how Chelsea is moving forward, which is why I had them for like third, and that was being optimistic, but that's why I had them third in my prediction at the beginning of season. I don't think that's going to change personally, but it's pretty much the same thing. So we're going to take the good wins. Like I said, when I think the week before we played Barcelona and Arsenal, I said Chelsea can beat Barcelona and Arsenal and then draw points to Leeds and draw points to Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. And although we didn't beat Arsenal, the performance enough suggests that we weren't like too far off in our thinking, because Chelsea fans kind of know their club. They know the capabilities of their club, and they know that there is no team in Europe or beyond that Chelsea cannot beat on their normal day. Like, there's nobody that Chelsea cannot beat. But then, at the same time, there's also nobody Chelsea cannot lose to. And it's very unfortunate that that's the state of the team currently. So it's going to be like this. I like I said in the group chat, and I was telling other people, like, I knew Chelsea were going to draw points against Bournemouth. I was very, my prediction was a 2-2, but either way, it was 0-0. It was still a draw. I knew Chelsea were going to draw points for sure. So I wasn't surprised or disappointed, which is why I still said I had a great weekend for other reasons, not because Chelsea's result was expected for me. So.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I wasn't surprised about that. I wasn't depressed or I wasn't happy or sad. I just knew that was what's going to happen.
Did those reasons have anything to do with Arsenal?
Oh, I thought we were talking about Chelsea. No? Oh, okay.
The reason you had a great weekend.
Feel free now. Feel free, Samuel. Now it's a free space now.
I don't know if we are talking about Arsenal yet. So that's why I'm just, am I lying was to, you know, run through our itinerary first before.
AK, I guess you have any thoughts on the game?
I mean, I already said my piece during the last review we had together.
You're very passionate on that one.
Yeah, no, I think what pissed me off with this one even more than the Leeds game was, you know, when experience comes in, there should be a certain level of performance you're given. Most of the crop of players that played against Bournemouth at last season, most of them still played this game, you know, or a good bunch of them. If they didn't play, they had a feel of what it is to go down there last season. This season, they were without a key midfielders, apart from Scott that was there, you know, Tyler Adams and some other guy again. You understand? And why, with the performance we played against Leeds, you know, I can understand some things, but I will not be able to understand a team that's trying to, like, you know, I'm not even saying going for the title, but at least, you know, give yourself a fair share of competition this season. Why are you going to play a game of 90 minutes and there's no shot on targets in the fourth half? I were going to play a game of nine teams and you're that poor that there's no, we didn't have no corner kicks. Like, that shows up. Did we even have corner kick in that game? I don't think we had. That just shows how bad we were yesterday. You know, at the style of play, I don't know the style of play that we played yesterday. I don't know what we played yesterday. You know, and I've been saying it over and over again. If you are playing this kind of teams, the inverted fullback thing, it's time to try something new. I'm not saying changes, but I'm just saying, but we struggle against games like this, against low teams, you know, playing away. I don't know, but we just, there's this, the pattern is there, you understand? And we struggle to play, we struggle to build up and everything. So even if we have the possession, but it's like, possession for what? You understand? So Maresca needs to find a way to unlock this problem that we're having. He needs to find a way to solve it. You understand? And I just want to add that, again, Enzo Fernandez, yeah, a big player for a reason. These are the games that we need to. Yes, building up to this, to the Leeds game and Arsenal game, you've been playing fantastically well. But you cannot be dropping inconsistent performance when you want to. You know, the team right now looking up to someone like Fernandez. You understand? I can understand Palmer. You know, he just came back from injury. You know, but I think apart from Sanchez and Fofana that really played well to save us that game, the rest for me, they were like pretty much below par. I mean, James tried. He played 90 minutes, no injury. So that's a positive. You know what I'm saying? But apart from that, that's it. You know, I was trying to give the lab some grace yesterday. Not because of anything, but because of, for the first time this season, we all can agree that we saw a little bit of, please, the word a little bit should be emphasized, of the Ipswich lab. It was trying to, like, you know, play his game of being physical, even though the Senesi from Bournemouth had a fantastic game. You know, it was trying to be physical with him, and yes, that cost him injury for 6 to 8 weeks. But at least I saw that the lab at least trying to show something. It didn't lead to anything, but just me seeing that shows that this is trying to do something. But I don't know how we're going to move forward with the lab injured now. Jao Pedro, oh Lord, God help me. You know, I'm not going to say it. I just feel like I'd rather, let me see what's going to lead to than say I miss Jackson. I know plenty of fans in the striking position, I don't miss Jackson. You can come for me, hate me, that's fine. But I just feel like, the game was pretty much, apart from what I just mentioned, nothing really special happened in the game.
So I think that's what I was going to ask you, Akan, though. Don't you think that fatigue plays a big part into like the underperformance of a lot of these experienced players? Like Cucurella also played rubbish, right? And Enzo Fernandez played rubbish. And to me, right, and of course they are experienced players, they played here before. They are the ones that the team should be looking up to, as well as Rich James. But don't you think that a good part of it, at least the way I see it, is like heavy fatigue? Because Fernandez plays regardless of the rotation that we do. Cucurella plays regardless of the rotation that we do. Of course, Sanchez plays, but he's a goalie, right? I don't know. I feel as though, like, I can see it in their performance. It's a very not, like, they are not rested at all. They are, like, knackered.
Like, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer this question with what Mikel said. Mikel said it's in December.
Mikel.
Yeah. No. Listen. When the guys listen to him, he has played the game at the highest level. He said it's in December that you will separate the boys from the men.
Fair.
You understand?
That's fair.
Because it's in December that the points to pick in December, you play key parts in the season. So I understand there's fatigue, but it's just the same thing. My job is by 7 a.m. tomorrow. I don't want to wake up by 7 a.m. tomorrow. I have to. You understand? These are professional players, man. They know these things. You understand? I will not give grace to you. You're making a good amount of bucks. I won't talk about the money they make, but the fact is, these guys have won it. They've won a trophy. If in matter or whatever, you want to downplay preseason trouble, they've won a trophy. So they know what it is to win a trophy. So there's experience on that part. Fernandez is a World Cup winner. You understand? Rhys James is a Champions League winner. These are guys that have played in big games. They should know that December is the most crucial part of the English Premier League. This is not Fernandez's first time in the Premier League. This is not Rhys James' first time. Most of this is not their first time. They know. Cucurella knows. All these guys, they know that December, you have to make sure your body condition is at 100% level. They know. And in games like this, it's not the time to play How do we play our pattern? No, that's why I even said, can we change it sometimes? Just play, just be pragmatic. You know what, guys, this time, no inverting, 4-3-3, fullback, get the goal, cross and out. This is the time we need to do something like that. Get your 3 points and get your head out of there. It's that simple. I understand that every team, and I told my colleagues, it's Arsenal fans, I said, bro, every team will drop points this December. This I know. But that is why we are Chelsea. That is why we won the league a couple times. And if not, it's because of December like this. So I will not take that fatigue thing as an excuse this period, man. No.
I have a question. So what does this draw mean? I guess this, what does this draw mean to?
What do you mean, like in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah.
Now 1 point now.
you think this? So do you guys still? I think I personally. Like, let me answer my own question. I think it shows me that. So next thing, it shows me that I don't think Chelsea is actually ready to actually go full on to challenge for the title right now. But I still have you guys.
Was it this game that made you think that though?
No, but it kind of
confirmed this.
You get
it was kind of obvious though that this was kind of the pattern of Chelsea.
No, I saw a lot of very hopeful. Let me know you guys, but hopeful Chelsea fans after the Arsenal game. I do still have you guys finishing top three. The only people that are surprising me right now, to an extent, is
top three.
I think
Chelsea will be top three. I said that for. I haven't changed from the beginning of the season. The only one I've gotten wrong is Liverpool.
Liverpool has surprised me a lot. I can't lie. City. I had City fourth, but I guess I am very, very wrong. Judging by how things are going, let's keep on, Bill. I think we can move on from Chelsea right now. Or Roger, now do you guys have any thoughts on Chelsea?
No, I just have questions because I don't watch Chelsea too closely, and I just want honest opinions and takes from the Chelsea fans here. Do you guys actually rate Fernandes?
Yeah, I do.
On his day?
On
his day is a baller. On his day is a top baller. On his day is a smart footballer. If you notice when we bought him or what he plays at Benfica and Argentina, it's like that playmaker kind of six, you understand? Then now under Maresca is like... It's like a box to box midfielder.
Box to box, I've heard.
The goals is what you need for that kind of position, and it's giving you the numbers. So on his day, he's a fantastic footballer. Yes.
Do you think he's gonna be more?
He has the highest goal contributions in 2025 for midfielders in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's number one. He's not. I don't need to rate him. Like work, his body of work speaks for him. Don't need to rate him. But are you asking in comparison to a player or just like where
do you see him? Not in comparison. Yeah, where do you see him overall? Just because he was an expensive signing and from what I've gathered, he's been quite inconsistent. Has moving him to that box-to-box eight improved his consistency? Because I cannot justify the price paid for him for how inconsistent he is. We knew the quality player was there. But if you can't show up as a quality player week in, week out, can you be relied on? I don't know. And in comparison to a few players that I could name myself, but we won't go there quite yet. But I just, for me, Fernandes, he's a good player for you, but Chelsea's lacking those consistent players that show up. And I think that is what Arteta fortified over the last few years to get us where we were. We had players that popped up once or twice, but you need players that are there consistently. And that's why for me, I thought Chelsea would probably get top four this year, but I just know they're too inconsistent and still young, although now they're growing together, but they're a pretty young team. And it's tough to win the league, you know. At this point, without that consistency and experience overall.
I mean, I agree with you, but I just feel like it's pretty much unfair to be signaling Enzo Fernandez with the consistency
of the entire team. That's fair.
It's not just him, you know. And also, if you want to speak holistically on his Chelsea career, on that Pochettino, this guy played with an injury.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner, no down payment required, and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
During all season, literally. Mm. And he was playing with, players play with injections, but he was literally injured. So I'm going to give him grace for that one. But this, but last season and this season, under Maresca, if you notice, in the beginning of the season, he wasn't playing that much because Maresca was trying to find a perfect position for him as a box-to-box kind of midfielder. It took a little minute. Once he landed, Samuel said, you know, the body of work was there, the goals and the contributions were there. You know, his presence in the box and also adding numbers in the midfield was there. So this season, prior to now, let's be fair. Oh, no, okay, that's not right. Just this season, we have seen inconsistency. And like I said, it's not just Hernandez. You know, I can easily signal trim at the scapegoats, you know, but I don't want to do it. And
no, very fair.
I will get a Salah interview tomorrow. you know, but I don't think he has lived up to his price tag yet. That's how I agree with you.
That's the, okay, yeah. So, that's
what I was gonna say, Roger. Like, I think I have agreed.
My
like,
analysis is based off the price tag.
That is fair. So I think the Fernandes conundrum for me is very interesting, being that when he first joined Chelsea, right, in 2023, he was at the base of the midfield. Right? He was practically Jorginho's replacement.
Yeah.
He was.
And he's not a Jorginho player.
Yeah, well, he
can't be. He
can be. He possesses Jorginho's qualities in terms on the ball. So he was the one that was doing all the passes, initiating all the attacks, especially when we're playing like a back three, right? And the discourse then was that, why would you buy a player for 100 million and all they are doing is just like metronomic passes, like, you know, long balls and all that? Where are his goals and assists? That was actually like the discourse around him. Like, the money was not valuable, or he wasn't valuable because of that. And now fast forward to now, like I was saying, like under Maresca, he's been shafted to being like the goals and assist guy, right?
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The performances are inconsistent for sure. They're definitely inconsistent. So you have to ask these questions. But I think that he has the quality to repay the value of his money. He's getting there. You know, getting there. But yeah, it's unfair to put the whole inconsistency of the whole team on him. He does have his own faults, but I think there's kind of, I have more grace with him just because he's done both sides of the game. Like, he's done both sides of that midfield conversation, both the passing without any GA and now the GA part. So like, practically any form of midfield you want him, he's doing it, or he at least has done it. So
I see.
We'll see.
Okay, all right. That's good to know. Honestly, I just wanted to be more educated on how he's been, just because I never hear of him because he is inconsistent. So I just want to get like the real sentiment around him. So
I like how you're asking these questions. Please, can we get to Asma?
I don't know if someone's echoing in the background, but. I hope not, yeah. If not, this
is it Namdi, or is Namdi still here? No, he's muted.
Yeah, well, anyway, for Arsenal...
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm muted.
Okay, for Arsenal, Roger, do you have any general takes on the game? Arsenal versus Villa, or Villa versus Arsenal?
Man, wait, I wasn't kidding when I gave my morning or my weekend update, bro. I've actually dissociated. Give me a second. I have to recall the game, bro. When bad things happen, I just leave it. I leave it far, man. I move on. That's how you keep going.
Please,
it hurt me, man.
Okpe, I beg. Where's Okpe? Okpe, please.
I won't lie, though. I still remember the feeling. I was sitting right here. And my roommate, he asked, he's like, Arsenal is going to tie this game and it's going to be fine. And when he asked me that, it was when Hincapié was dribbling down the line and we were just facing pressure. So I didn't even answer him when he said, Arsenal is about to draw this game, because I'm like, I feel like something's about to happen. And then the ball's bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. And then Buendia with his right foot.
This guy just
boom, up. Top of the net, the roof, the net ripples. And I'm like, no way. Mm. No way, man. Oh, no. But honestly, the Sutherland tie hurt more. I don't know why. Because this Villa Park is so difficult for us. That's why I said, no offense to the Chelsea game, but this Villa game gave me more of the scaries than going to Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I understand historically because we rarely win here for some reason. I remember.
Quick question, I just want to know, was, did you guys actually go for Buendia? Was it Buendia or Odegaard?
That was the argument. And I think Odegaard was just a better deal at the end of the day.
But there was a formal approach to Buendia.
I think a bit, but I don't think it went as advanced as.
But I mean, I heard it over time. Yes, down to down. Like, if that is the case, that means there's no way you're going to escape them as Villa Park. When I Emery with history, Buendia with his own history, you must collect though. Yeah, we'll collect.
We'll start from today. I mean, for me. I was worried about this game for sure, especially because historically with Arteta versus Emery away from home, they've also beaten us at the Emirates, albeit not as often as they beat us on Villa Park. But I was just hoping that we had kind of outgrown always like losing to Villa, because last season we beat
them. They are group beating in Premier League.
I think we were the last. We were the only team last season to beat them at home.
Last season, we beat them.
Good evening, no. Good evening. Good evening.
So Sam, I know on camera.
I thought we had you know, kind of escaped this Villa being a boogie team thing, especially because of last season we beat them. But I guess not. And also the fact that they entered into this game with like form, I think 8 out of 9 wins and everything, that's also what made me worried. Plus our defensive line was decimated.
It was their first time playing together, Timber and Gapier.
Yeah, but regardless though, I was still hoping we'd win. And if I'm being honest, I watched recap of the game from 2 seasons ago when we lost them, even the one we won them. I think we're actually way more under pressure in those 2 games than we were in this last one. So, performance-wise, you can actually say in some ways.
Wasn't Timber on the floor when this guy, Watkins, threw him somewhere? Was that somebody else? Was it?
Nah, AI.
AI? Okay, man. Because Timber are supposed to be the best something.
This match sweet Chelsea fans, but Chidalu finish. It's sweet Chelsea fans for sure.
It sweets me like breast may not be my own.
you know that Timber thing you just said, but
Timber play centre back.
But we're going to start that conversation later on because I'm like, which one is Timber better than Reece James?
They have never been put in history before. They are adding him, Timber and Reece James. Oh God!
In fact, he plays center back that game. Even
yeah, I'm Timber plays center back that game. Did Reece James not play against what's their name again? Leeds, I think. Yeah. Anyway. I think we stayed that match looking very like lazy. Probably I don't know what's in the job. Maybe it's because of the tough week they've had or whatever, or maybe just the time of the season. But we stayed very lethargic. Moving the ball very slow. If you're trying to break a team down, you can't be building up that slow. Like, our build up was so slow in that first half. All they did was just keep the ball in front of them. Everything was happening in front of them. But I think part of that was because we didn't have any runners. I think Ope is here, right? Ope also cited that, like, guy, whenever the guy gets on the ball, nobody's running, nobody's moving. Only maybe Saka.
Who got the ball?
Like, whenever, like, Odegaard or anyone midfielders got the ball, no runners at all. Everybody wanted to be a playmaker for some reason. The only outlet we had was Saka. And actually, Saka had a pretty decent game. Probably his most
The first half, he started very well.
Yeah, even though there was no output, well, this was probably one of his better performances in recent games. Second half, we started with way more energy. And I actually had a lot of hope. When we equalized, it seemed like...
Yeah, when we equalized, I felt good.
Yeah, it looked like Arsenal were the team that were going to win that game. But all of a sudden, Emery made the subs. They slowed down the pace of the game. Everything just calmed down. Now, when FFS catch me, I said, yeah, this one looking like... I didn't know what happened. But the game slowed down. Villa got back in control. To be fair, I was actually still... It still looked like Arsenal might score. When they gave us 4 minutes, I was like, why is it just 4 minutes? I wanted more minutes. But at this point, I wish it was just 1 minute they gave us extra time. Because when I saw 4 minutes first, I was a bit annoyed because there wasn't enough time for us to score a winner. But then we end up being the team to lose the game. Going on, I guess my biggest takeaway from that game was the whole, if we don't, I don't know if we have enough, we can't risk having a backline that lacks that much chemistry, first of all. Because normally losing at Villa Park that's okay. You lose, you're bound to lose at some point. But at least we can't even afford one more injury. If our center back pairing, our entire back line is looking the way it does like right now, I've not seen us look so confused defending like on being under pressure.
When we had the conversation that you said who would be missed the most if you lost. Like, if you got another injury, this was after Gabriel's injury, right? And they were like Rice, and they were like this. And I was like, if Saliba injures, you are going to drop points.
You live for planning the perfect trip. The thrill of comparing hotels, scoring that impossible reservation, and piecing together an unforgettable itinerary. You already think like a travel advisor, so why not just be one? Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan vacations and help others travel well. As a Fora advisor, you'll be set up for success with best-in-class training, powerful booking tools, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider tips. Fora helps you turn your love of planning vacations into a business with a flexible, meaningful stream of income, with commission on every hotel, cruise, and activity you book. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred partners, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout, giving you and your clients the kind of elevated travel experiences regular travelers simply don't get. Getting started is as easy as booking trips for people you already know. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/earn. That's foratravel.com/earn.
I don't think it's just Saliba. I think losing Mosquera too is a big factor. And that's what worries me the most. Because it's like, without Saliba, like the game after... Because we lost Gabriel previously. Yeah, so Gabriel hasn't been playing for a while. Yeah, but that Mosquera has dropped points. When did we even drop points? We won against Brentford now. And Mosquera was there, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, the games where Mosquera, even the drop point, I think it was the Sunderland game where we drew or something. So it wasn't...
To Chelsea too.
Right. But come on, that Chelsea is a big team now. I'm not going to...
Dropping points regardless. Though.
No. He's dropping points regardless.
Sunderland also now. Sunderland also. And there was, I think, Saliba and Gabriel played. Am I correct?
Sorry, I was confusing the Sunderland game for the Chelsea game. It was actually Chelsea game I was referring to.
Okay.
So Mosquera played the Chelsea game. So it was like, that is still not like terrible drawing to Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea, you guys carried it as a win. Okay, congratulations. But like, I didn't see it as the end of it. No,
we don't celebrate fake trophies in this game at all.
How are you talking to Chelsea when you're... Where your first contest at risk.
10 men, Chelsea, 37 minutes. Please, people are listening to us.
The game in full, like watching that Sunderland game, even the Chelsea game. Yeah, like Chelsea were putting proper pressure, but like our defense didn't look as disorganized and confused as they did against these guys, against Aston Villa.
It looks very different.
Aston Villa, we look terrible. We didn't look like all that talk about Arsenal being a good defensive team. If someone watched that game against Villa, you would not have that.
They wouldn't take that. Yeah, they wouldn't.
Defense looked like they lacked chemistry, bereft of ideas, struggling to deal with high balls. They looked like a team that just they played together. Like it was bad. And then to also make it worse, at least on the right side, seemed to be better. But the left side, I think Eze had a part to play in that. First of all, Calafiori is not really the greatest defensive left back.
I'll stop you right there. Because we have spent ample airtime on this podcast.
Bro, not bad.
Big Cala or whatever the hell they called him.
The Italian Cannavaro.
Yeah, I don't go grill. These names we were calling. I don't know.
Let me explain.
He's not
a bad defender at all when he actually stays back. But he does have a lot more license to go forward. He goes for a lot more than Timber does. At times, the left winger has to come in and support him. Yes, because of the Lords. Yes, and that's not because he's bad.
You don't mean it. I gotta say, I can't. December.
I don't see the problem, but he ventures forward. But like as in that goal, I will say what's at fault. And of course, sometimes if someone goes forward, someone has to cover for them. And Martinelli does that better than Eze did in that game. I think Eze had a bad game overall, probably because he's still having.
Probably his worst game, to be honest. Trying to adapt
to the intensity overall of like playing for Arsenal, pressing and being required to press and everything. But it's funny how the entire discourse on this is why I hate that app. Twitter is not a real place actually. I should stop going on there. That is a cesspit of rubbish, just agendas, bro.
Oh, like when somebody said that Palmer is playing the Eze role. Can you imagine the words that have never been put together? People were adding them. Palmer, Cole Jermaine Palmer is playing the Eze role.
I don't understand how the entire conversation like was not usually about how bad we are defensively. It was more about like Eze.
I don't Palmer, think you were so together. To add more nuance, right? The back line that played yesterday, right, is the first time they played together, right?
Yeah.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think you were shambolic as you are making it seem. Yeah, you were not shambolic. They were not like defensive, like errors leading to goal or anything like that.
It could have ended with more goals. Like Watkins had
100%
two so many big chances. Like those guys were terrible, bro. Like forget, no, bro. The XG in that game for Aston Villa was 2.5. So it's like we're supposed to concede over two goals in that game regularly without even any of the rubbish that happened.
Ryan
so it's
made
like,
a great save for one of them, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you spoke about Timber being on the floor, you know? So in my own big takeaway from that game is just like moving forward, I don't know how Arsenal is going to cope like defensively.
Play them into chemistry.
I think they'll be fine. I individually, I think they are good defenders. I just think it's just chemistry. That's all.
It's a system. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're just not familiar with each other. It's their first time starting. And yeah, if you're not an Arsenal fan watching that game, maybe you might not think the defense is as bad. But compared to us not facing a single shot on target in October, this is not what we're used to anymore. And Saliba's injury too is not even that long. No,
my own is just people covering for each other. Like you've seen Timber Vent going forward, and he's one plays a long ball.
Did you see Odegaard for that goal? Did you see Odegaard? Like there are clips of Odegaard.
I saw that video.
Or the lack of effort there for that.
It looked like he was just trying to start a counter. Like he was ready for the ball to drop loose.
Yeah, like that's. That's not good enough. Like you're not sensing the danger. That's not good enough. You
earn
the
right to counter.
You don't just wait for the counter. You're not denying. You have to go there, collect the ball, and then start the counter.
Thank you, Samuel, man.
Thing looked chaotic. Like everybody was on the floor. Everybody was trying to honestly.
But my thing is it credit to Unai Emery, because now I told you, I said 100%. Unai Emery, Aston Villa, there's no like, this is their style of play. Oh, they're not overly aggressive on the ball. They are not a defensive team. They're not a counter-attacking team. They have flexibility in the way they play. And we literally saw it in the first 15, 20 minutes. They were trying to knock the ball short passes. And for some reason, they were finding spaces, you know, in the midfield. Is it because, I don't know why, if it was Odegaard, Rice, I don't know, but they found spaces in the midfield. And then after a while, they shifted to playing long balls. But I know Oli Watkins, he wants to run in between the lines. He wants to attack the space, you know, and he was having success with that. That's why he saw that he had his first chance, you know, or even two chances in that second half. It was just, he didn't have his shooting boots on yesterday. But my thing is, I just feel like Arsenal, this Arsenal that we saw yesterday, we can mention the defensive woes. And I said it, and I say it again. If you are going for the title, like, we agree that you are. Listen, you've showed us that, yes, you're going for the title. These are games you should not be losing. Why? Not because you're bad or because you're not bad, but because you should know, you should be expectant of the fact that you are coming to Villa Park. There's lots of things that are up for grabs. You know they want to come and close the points down to 3 points. You know there's a vendetta, like you said earlier, with Unai Emery and Arsenal in general. You're coming to a hostile ground. And before the game, I said, Arsenal have gone to St. James Park, picked up a point. They've gone to Stamford Bridge. They've gone to Sunderland. They've gone to Etihad. And that's why I thought that you guys were like, you know, based on that maturity level in picking up, you will go down here and do the business. But I also told you that, listen, if anybody wakes up and be like, Omo, Aston Villa beat Arsenal today, I won't be surprised. Because, like you said, the form is there. 8 out of 9 is not fluke. You don't buy that. You understand? They have scorers in that team, and it showed yesterday. I mean, I personally, I just feel like even though AZ had a bad game, and Odegaard was just trying to get his face back, and the Saka conversation is there, because now people are, I'm trying to now understand when some Arsenal fans are saying, is it high time to start dropping Saka? Because what I saw yesterday, it was not bad, but it was not the Saka that you guys were expecting. I think
it was so funny with the Saka conversation, because the assist to Chelsea was literally his first assist in the Premier League for exactly a year, right?
I'm not
even kidding. And they know it. The Arsenal fans know it too. That was his first assist for a whole year. Like,
why is this place quiet now?
In the Premier League.
I mean, to be fair, when you say assist, it's not from, they're not counting like his corner kicks. And that is fair, yes. They don't count like, because he takes set pieces for the team. And that should count as an assist, I don't know. But the assist that they are talking about is...
No, they do count it.
Bro, you can't tell me Saka has not assisted from a corner, bro.
It's probably when it...
It's probably from open play, bro.
It's money rights to Gabriel now. You guys
Rice or Saka, like both wings, the corner comes in from either one of them. And with the way we score corners.
I feel like there's a caveat to that 1 year assist thing, man. There has to be.
For me personally, I thought it was actually growing. Because look, if you watch that game, as of the, is it 85th minutes or so, I don't know, he took out Trossard and he brought in Martinelli. So you could just thought I was trying to go for the counter. You understand? Maybe that's why Odegaard was trying to, I don't know.
Trossard is not fit. He just brought him because he needs to score.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So and he's still nursing his calf.
Oh, but anyways, like, I just feel like if you're going for the title, that's not a game you should be dropping points at, you know. Right now, I don't care about how you play. You know, a serious team this period is not how you play. Go there, pick your points.
Let me answer you.
You understand? But
if you're good for the title, there is no, you're not allowed to drop points in any game.
You're not allowed. And if you notice, even Pep said it in his, I think in his press conference before Fulham game. He said there's a reason why I'm the oldest manager in the league, the most experienced. There's a reason.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Why is he knows these things that some these are times where you can't even think of dropping points right now.
Let me say what Pep said actually. Well, this was actually after I dropped points. He was like, listen, these are early days. Every team will drop points. You don't win the league in November, in December.
What do you think you will see? Pep is winning.
Of course.
Saka's last assist in the Premier League in 2024-2025 was November 30th, 2024 against West Ham. That was his last assist English Premier League. His next assist was against Chelsea 2 weeks ago.
Is it the same guy
that proposed?
That same guy.
He proposed, that Saka guy. Same guy. You are saying it wasn't open play. It was
Bukayo.
Pure assist. Even corner.
You don't even mean corner. It.
He's the one. Bukayo is him. Is him.
Let me answer.
I don't know. We got pretty far in the Champions League because of him contributing probably goals and assists.
Of course. The caveat
see,
is Premier.
I don't allow any Saka.
This Premier League that they want to win.
The Premier League that they've already won in October. They won in October. This okay. Another Premier League again.
Is Mikel Obi that handed us that trophy? Because I don't know when we won that thing in November. Chelsea fans have been pushing this agenda since, and Mikel is heading it. He's your legend that is heading that discourse.
Yeah, we are here.
Pep said they know they don't win it. When did they start winning league in November?
Pep lost to Villa 3-0 and still won the title. So
which is the mature answer now that you guys can still win the league, right?
Of course.
But now with 2 points and City on form,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't have you guys winning the league in the beginning of the season, anyways. So
it's a very
my thing is very simple.
I can't look.
Quick question to Roger and Okbe and Marzi before we go to the next game.
Yeah,
my question is. If it happens, if you guys don't win the league, is it Arteta out?
For we no. He's still like that guy.
Nah, this guy. They love Arteta too much.
Bro. No, if we don't win the league for his Arteta's mental health, I think he should go. That's my view.
If we don't win the league, I will win the Champions League. It depends. You need to give me the full story now.
Okay,
but trophyless again. The same story.
No, he's still gotta go now. I'm not taking it.
What do you mean? You have a choice.
Why not?
You will eat what they give you.
After all the heartbreak, you only think FA Cup is enough to have my
son. I'm old enough to remember that this FA Cup that they are laughing at was like the holy grail for Arsene Wenger that year.
Let me tell you something.
When you guys needed Cazorla to win an FA Cup. Like, you guys were begging, like, when you were going 9 years.
This time, Arteta played in that FA Cup now.
Guy, I'm old enough to remember this FA Cup was really the standard, though. Now they are forming.
That was all we could accept at the time. We're not challenging for any title. So what do you
and
mean?
And you will accept it again because that's all that's on offer for you.
This sport is good enough to win.
That's all you got.
Oh my God.
The FA Cup, the oldest trophy in football history. That's what you're going to get. That's all you got. I'm sorry.
The last one they won was the same FA Cup now.
That's what they're going to win.
What's the whole,
okay, you know what? There's FA Cup. And then the next season, Community Shield.
That's how you guys do it now. You know the standard. What's the problem?
I don't understand.
We lost this weekend. It's all right. It's fine.
It's that simple. This is our second loss of the season.
No, let's
hold on. Let me stop you there. Don't use that loss thing. You had less losses than Liverpool last season. If I'm not mistaken,
okay, but we drew an insane amount.
Yeah, and you are going to draw an insane amount. Arsenal is not.
Why would we draw an insane amount? This year we have more business continuity. Our team depth is. We lost the league the last two seasons because of team depth. We've corrected that. Yes, we have injuries. Okay. I'm not afraid this year. You guys are just this guy's trying to get his revenge.
The only reason why Chelsea fans can laugh right now is because our team is injury stricken. Like, if not for the injuries,
because Chelsea, all our players,
it's not for the injury.
I bet most of the players are there. Easy reason don't play your last game. Every year, let's move on.
No, anyway, because Chelsea, all our players are fit. We don't have any injury.
Add one more thing. You were talking about Saka, bro. I don't understand this whole agenda against Saka and Odegaard. As if they're not the best players last game. To me, the worst player in that game was actually Eze. I'm not really understanding the whole discourse on Twitter.
Is that us or are you saying in general?
Sorry, but like Saka thing has been happening like over time. Like this season, I don't know why this season I've been hearing.
Oh my God! So what are you trying to say about Saka?
No, not me. It's you people, not me.
Oh, the agenda.
They are more pets on Twitter. I don't think they've literally, I think their entire distance just to have.
You, somebody here in this group said, Saka is better than Yamin Lamal. Hey. Somebody here. The person is looking at me.
No, that's not what I said.
Oh, okay. Bro. But I'm the one hitting on your own players.
That is not what I
said. Even if you said it, I like people like him. The ones that are trying to use Saka as scapegoat, the ones that piss me off, bro. Like, it's
annoying. But you know, Saka will always be this. I feel it's bad. Let's be fair. Let's leave banter aside. I just feel like this Saka of a guy is a wonderful footballer. I will not. If you want a complete footballer, Saka is a complete footballer. If I want to win a football match, I'm playing Saka and I have my own personal reasons. And also, I've noticed that even in England also, when they lose games, they put Saka as the face of the, whatever. You know, when they lose games. When they win games, they put someone else is there. I mean, that's how I love football, right? You know, these are things that are bound to happen. Yeah, next, moving forward.
Anyway, let's talk about City's game, actually. Bro, I don't like City. I don't like them right now because of for obvious reasons.
Why are you hitting on City?
Watching Sherrick play. Oh my God. Nah, like anyway, you guys know really, like, I love football as well.
It's with you.
Like Hazard, Neymar, everything. But
they make the guy beautiful.
Sherrick is like it's like football porn.
It was the best dribbler at French League on now, last season. When he was playing for, is it Lille? Is it Lille? Lyon, or Lyon? Lyon, yeah. And it was Hazard that gave him that trophy. The guy is a baller.
So let's speak to our Man City fan. For our Man City,
correspondent. Over to you.
I did.
Man City for life.
I mean, it was just a regular game for us, you know. We came here, we did our job. You know, everybody, Foden has been on good form, Shaq. I give him that. He's really been doing things. Turkey, of course. I think he's probably our best signing this summer. And it was just 30M, which is crazy.
You mean Turkey?
Yeah, Turkey, yeah.
I thought it was Tijani for a minute, though.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like Reinders has had some inconsistency in his game. Cherky's own, I think, was due to like injury. He had injury issues when he first came. And then people are like, oh, you know how they say Guardiola, they spoil dribblers. But yeah. I feel like this season, him and Doku, you can't really say that anymore, really. You know, the way they are all performing. So it was a good game. You know, Haaland did score, but it's okay. He did score.
I actually said something about Haaland for the game. I remember I was telling you, Sam, about like Haaland and struggling against Newcastle. I felt like that would also be a similar thing with Sunderland because they play a very, very similar game. And
the
center backs are very, very physical and they will be on that nine. So I kind of predicted that Haaland will have a great game against Sunderland.
I mean, against... this game wasn't bad. It's not like, I wouldn't say he struggled. He just didn't score. He had one nice assist. He had almost not an assist, but a nice pass from Cherki that they did, like, he shot the ball, and I think he just deflected on one of their defenders. But that would have easily been a goal.
I would say the beautiful thing about watching City, right, it's Pep, right, is how he, of course, he stays one step ahead, but he seems to, like, scam everybody. Like, there's a thing he does where he, no, it's very beautiful. Forget when he used to scam Man U with, like, going for a player, then pulling out the Man U now spend money and go and buy the player, and the player now turns out to be crap for them. Like, there's a way he evolves in football. For instance, right, he will make the best in possession, false nine, messy formation, or even with City, like, they'll win the league without a striker, right? And so now the blueprint for the league is, how do you mimic that? So you try and play with a false nine or a half nine because you're trying to copy Pep. Then he goes and buys the best nine the world has seen, right? Then the league is now becoming more athletic, right? Or you look at, like, the league becomes very athletic, right? And so he's like inverting center backs and right backs and left backs into the midfield, and he's like compensating for that athleticism. So the league starts doing that. They do that. They invert. This person is inverting. This person is bringing this person to enter the midfield. Like, the center back is playing midfield to, like, compensate for that. And then he goes and buys somebody like Cherki, who is, like, who for some weird reason was in the market for a very, very long time, and nobody was going for him because they just felt he wasn't athletic enough. But ball doesn't lie. It's football, not foot gym, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those kind of players. And he goes for them again, and you're like, Pep is going back to this player. Then you see somebody like, he has Ederson, right? Everybody's going for ball-playing goalkeepers, ball-playing. Like, this is Pep. So if you cannot play ball, you will not play for Pep. And then he pump fakes the world and goes and buys a terrible ball-playing keeper with wonderful shot-stopping abilities. And you're like, this is everything that he seems that he's against is a lie. And he said himself, like, no, it's true. Like, every time...
No, he's very flexible. Like,
he said that... It's funny because there was an interview that they asked him, like, oh, what is it like about you? Like, what is your true philosophy? Because the principles that you seem to have stood on for years, you are deviating from. Like, you are, you know, obviously, a Pep team will always be a possession-based team. That one is not going to die. But, like, the things he's adding to that pot of soup are very, very, very different.
He dies in some games. Like,
huh?
That possession-based thing goes away in some games. When he needs
truly. Even against Arsenal, he started trying to pack the balls. I said, where are you starting that one?
There are a couple of games did that. This is
Like, I'm like, where are you doing that one from? This is different. And he said that in that interview, and I remember he's like, the only answer is winning. The only answer is winning. I just want to win. And if I can do it the way I want, yes. If I can't, then he'll adjust. But he just wants to win. And it's just a testament to just see how, like, players that you think will never be in a Pep side, right? He would never go for the pace and power guy, right? Because one time he replaced Yaya Toure with Sergio Busquets because of technicality. But now he is now coming back to the physicality of having guys like Doku and stuff like that. And it's like, you just see how, like, everybody tries to go with where he's going, and then he goes another way. Like, it is such a wonderful thing to see, because so many people said that Cherki wouldn't work at City, right? It didn't seem like he was that type of retain the ball type of player, like old metronomic passing and stuff like that. But he's a wonderful player, and a wonderful player will excel with Pep. And it's just beautiful to see. I look forward to what stew he's going to cook every season. Like, every season, it just looks like it's something new he's coming up with, and then the whole of the league is trying to copy that. Right?
He's he's been the trendsetter in football.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I agree with you, Sam, because I was part of the people that were like, nah, this Cherki guy, it's Pep, nah, it's not going to work. Because I saw a bit of him in the Olympics while playing on that
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this guy is a techie player, you know, silky player, wants to, like, you know, dribble and all that stuff. Because the guy backs himself 100% in his dribbling, you know. And I'm like,
like you said, Pep wants, like, you know, robotic systemic players, you know, stay here, pass here, positioning, you know, that's Pep, position properly. But I feel like, over time, is evolving with his ideas. Like he says, he's always a step ahead. You know, I was watching an interview, if I'm correct, with him talking about how we want Doku to be more expressive on the pitch. And I'm like, wow, Pep is saying that, you understand? So, you know, while we are seeing the best manager in the world, you know, easily trying to, like, you know, try new things and adapt new things. This is why I feel like I wish his students like Arteta and Maresca should also, you know, imbibe that also, try new things, evolve. Like, you know, don't just go with one style and one style of play only. You know, look at the goals they scored yesterday. You know, open play, set piece, Diaz shooting the ball. You understand that's thing they want, you know, Pep is going for something this season.
No.
I think Roger doesn't agree with this Pep.
Carabao Cup, Alan Cup, is going for something. You understand? So yeah.
No.
Roger, I think you don't agree.
What was the problem?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I think we're giving a little too much credit to what City is doing right now. Because, again, they almost drew 5-5 after being 5-1 up 2 weeks ago.
You know,
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago,
right? And all the different... They bought James Trafford in for 50 mil. And then... Oh, Donnarumma's on the market. Then they get Donnarumma because, of course, they're going to go for it because they have City money. But all of their transfer strategy in the last few years has been way more inconsistent and unplanned for than what they were doing in the mid-2010s and upward to 2020, in my opinion. And what then you're saying his students... Mascara, and then Arteta should try. Arteta is the one that brought in all these center backs and are playing them at full backs. Arteta has played a different way with Arsenal every single season. We are the ones that made set pieces relevant again to increase all our scoring options and win games from any situation. And you're giving all this praise to Pep, who is just figuring it out on the way. Arteta has been doing this for the last season or two. I will say
but
that.
But he hasn't figured it out, though. Yes. You see what?
I agree with.
And I'm not saying Pep isn't great, but I'm also saying all of what you just said is what Arteta has been doing, but he doesn't get this sort of discourse, which is what angers me about, like, how do you not give Arteta his flowers? Because he has done all that with less experience.
We can't give him his flowers.
Why are you giving him flowers?
There's no flower to give.
Why should I give him flowers for second
place? Maybe can't win this, bro.
You can give him seat. There's differences, bro.
We can give him what?
Give him flower.
Yeah, please. On
okay.
Can we focus on the money part?
From 2020.
Let's focus. We are talking about people that are not flexible. Let's talk about the people that are not flexible. Let's not talk about Arteta. Arteta is very flexible.
I think Arteta is flexible for sure. But the conversation was about Pep. It wasn't about whether.
The reason why Arteta came into the conversation was because they are saying, "Oh, Arteta can learn from Pep." Like, they definitely,
but
he can learn some things. Obviously. Yeah,
not
for sure. But I don't think it's just like to start pushing him down on like, oh, he's not as flexible as Pep, and that's the reason why. Maresca, even Amorim. Yeah,
everybody
tell me people ain't they flexible.
Everybody.
It's not Pep students.
Let me say something, right? The reason There is no example of Arteta's flexibility that has yielded success. None. That is a fair thing to say.
Level of
the success. The reason why Pep's name
is the FA Cup you're talking
flexibility
about.
Because it yields success. There is no. Do you know that there are multiple managers in the league that do more rotations and are more flexible than Arteta? You know that, right? I hope you know that Arteta is not the most flexible manager in the league. There are multiple managers that do more rotations,
are more innovative with their tactics, they don't get props. Why? Because they didn't win the fucking league.
With tactics.
Pep does his flexibilities and his rotations, and he wins, and it works for him.
Remember, he tried this inverted fullback thing that we're seeing.
Yeah.
They all pop
it. There are other managers that do it, but we don't call their names.
You know, it's Pep has brought us many things to the league, and he wins with them, bro. I'm not going to give you flowers for coming second. No, I wouldn't do that. Samuel, you know what's funny, Samuel, right? When you said what you just said now, that Arteta has done all these things without winning the league, without winning something. Roger wanted to argue. You were like, I'm an attrition.
No, my main thing is I don't think this is the same City where we've seen in the past few years.
No, that's no, it's definitely not.
I think,
definitely
yes, not. They're winning, but hey, Roger, they're not as strong at all.
If we take our back,
my point. That's why I even started this Pep conversation. I think they're doing well, but I don't think it's going to be as strong as what it's been.
No. That's 100%. I don't think that makes sense.
But I think those are mutually exclusive conversations. I didn't have City being above Chelsea this season, personally. I didn't. I don't think that they have solved enough of their problems that they had last season.
Yeah, I think right?
But giving him his flowers in discourse in terms of rotations is because, and flexibility, is because he has been successful with it. And in the process that we currently are, with City being on the same goal difference as Arsenal, right? Mm-hmm. And 2 points behind, right? A funny looking City is on the same goal difference as you and just 2 points behind, right? Like literally your next draw and City win, that's it for you. They are going above you.
Roger, are you concerned with this City gap?
No.
Namdi, I actually had a question for you in terms of Donnarumma, for example. I mean, I know he's supposed to be a great shortstopper, but I mean, I've been seeing some stats flying around. That's how bad. I'm seeing a lot of stats flying around about how bad his shortstopping has been. Apparently, he has one of the lowest save percentage in the entire league, or whatnot. And also, his distribution and his ability to claim crosses have been quite questionable since he joined Man City.
I mean, that was fine. At the end of the day, like if you watch that game, you see there was like one-on-one. That they got and he saved it. Like, he comes in when he's needed. Mm-hmm. There might be some other times where, okay, like that 5-4 game, you know, sometimes you say, okay, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Other one is Jans. First of all, it's also like, I don't think you have to think about, like, this is, he really just moved to the league. Like, people always forget, like, moving to the league is not an easy feat to do. Like, it's just that he's done a rumor. So, like, they would always pick a team or any little small thing is Donnarumma. But like, I'll say my City's biggest issue right now, definitely defense. I think, of course, Rodri is still missing. You know, it's hard to replace a Ballon d'Or player. Like, that's just what it is. When he comes back, I think it will be tough. But then I don't think the reason he won it was because of his athleticism, you know? So he might still come back and be the same player, or he might not. Because sometimes it's not only just athleticism, it's your mind. You want to do something that you usually used to do before.
ACLs are hard, man.
Exactly. Yeah, and you start thinking of your injury. And then a lot of times when you you injure and you try to recover, and you're recovering, and then you have a setback. You know, all those things play in your mind. So really, it's really like a strong mindset thing too. So he might. We'll see. I mean, definitely, that's what's missing. But there's no way Prime Rodri is playing our 5-1 and then he's going to be 5-4. That's not happening.
Yo, Unamdi, I have a quick question. Sorry, guys. Just a quick question. Like, yeah, I mean, I like how you pointed out Donnarumma there, Chooks. You cannot be a monster of a keeper winning titles and then there won't be spotlights on you. But my question is, how long do you think Pep will be patient with Donnarumma with his ball distribution? Because, you know, when I see him sometime and I watch you guys and I watch him and I compare and contrast with Ederson, Ederson is miles ahead when it comes to ball distribution.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you think Pep is going to let it go up? Like, you know what? Yeah, you're a monster of a keeper. Just do the short stopping for me.
and then Lesgov is, and that's key, a major key part, a major core part of Pep. How do you move the ball properly as a keeper? We've seen it. He did it with Barcelona with this guy. What's this guy's name again? That he brought to City.
Bravo.
Yeah. You know, then he brought in Ederson, and now do you think he's gonna let it go or just be patient? And even you City fans.
I mean, see, this guy is young too. At the end of the day, people don't forget because he's been playing for forever. I think it's something they'll work on. But I don't think Pep would keep him there just for forever if he doesn't improve. But then he's like, the Rama is like 25, 26, right? Sam, you are the one that usually knows everybody's age. Let me confirm. For real.
Wait, I don't think Pep cares.
So he's 26.
Much in the same way.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think he would care until they start losing points or dropping points.
Let me actually answer, because people say the same thing about when he bought Haaland. He's not a Pep player. His interplay is not the best. He's more of a big traditional forward. I think he bought Haaland for reason to score goals. I think he bought Donnarumma for one reason, to stop the ball from entering the net. I think he
but the balls are entering the net, though. That's why he asked the question.
That's the one thing.
That's why he asked the question.
Yeah, but Donnarumma was bought much in the same way as, like, the same reason Haaland was bought. I think he's just like a specialized, crazy, like almost like a lab produced goalkeeper, just a short stopper. Look at the size of that dude, and he's there to stop the next one. The whole ball playing thing,
that guy's wild, bro. That guy is wild, man.
Everybody knows.
I don't know how Palmer was placing that ball, but his guy's wild.
Everybody knows he's not the best with his feet. He's been much publicized. Enrique, that's the reason they let him go, despite Champions League and everything.
Yeah.
He's very, very publicized. And he's 26. He's not going to start learning how to. He's not going to suddenly turn to Xavi or what's his name? Or Ederson. He's not. Simply, that's as simple as that. So I'm pretty sure Pep is aware of that. I don't think he's trying to get him to be playing true balls from his post. So as long as he's saving, he's producing mad saves, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's possible?
For a couple years, maybe for like a year or two. I feel like at year three, when Pep wants to change things and there might be a new keeper on the horizon, his position is going to be in jeopardy. Like, because that's really what Pep still wants at the end of the day. Like, he's going to evolve, but there are some core things. That possession, that keeper thing has always been there. He will evolve and evolve back. Like, that's just what he does. Season, is like kind of like his first season at PSG, Donnarumma. Like, when he first came to PSG, he struggled a bit. And then eventually he got into it. So we'll see how he evolves at City. But I think he would still have to develop better.
I also have a quick question for the movement, please.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question, Unam. Do you think you guys can catch up to Arsenal? Is it possible? Do you see
beginning happening? Of season? I didn't have us because really we're still in transition.
Yeah.
So, but Arsenal, the way they are playing like this, they are not showing us that things haven't changed in their life. So I would say no, for real.
Things never
like,
change, man. Things just never change, man.
No, honestly,
Roger's not taking any Arsenal slander today, man.
Not today. There's no reason for us to be this close. Like, we are still a team, literally. Like, me, I was even thinking, okay, you know, last year we were shit. This year we bought a lot of players. He's figuring out how to use the players well. We're in transition. Of course, we're still a good team. We have Erling. No how. We'll set our top three. Makes sense. But I didn't expect.
City had the most wins in the league. City has been the most consistent team this year before the season started.
Yeah, but there's nuance to that now. They were coming for top four. They literally got their top four like last two games of the season or so. There's nuance. They were chasing. Everybody was chasing it too. Chelsea too got serious at some point too, and got serious and started chasing top four.
Yeah, bro. Like, of course, you know, you always know we click in January. First of all, we have not reached January itself, and we're already so close. You know, like, I really didn't expect this from Arsenal. I mean, I'm sure you have on other podcasts. I said the Arsenal. I expected it
later on in the season, not earlier.
Don't worry, we'll still be first. Don't worry, come January.
You said we had that for like many, many years, my brother.
Even if you say this all come the January, the most important part is being first come May. League don't they finish for January.
Woo! That, woo! Clock it.
Want to see you.
Anyway, I guess it's hard to talk about City without talking about Arsenal, so that's fair. And does anyone else have any point about City? Obe?
Nah, I'm good.
Obe, how far? I know Obe is a City fanboy, Loki.
Obe is a morning man. Obe is just one of us, man. You live.
to be fair, like, if I'm being 100% honest about, like, this whole Arsenal situation right now, I'm scared, bro. Like, this is looking like it. I don't know how these guys are chatting. Oh, bro, this is City, bro. City. City is back alive. I've faced these guys before. I was happy. Chelsea, I'm not scared of Chelsea being second. I don't care who else is second. City being second. Yes, that is a real threat. Like, any other team, I'll be calm. But the fact that it's Pep and it looks like, bro, they are clicking way better. And like you guys said, like, it seems like they play better, like, starting January. Like, that's when they really start to click. And you can already see the fire that is even going on right now. Hopefully, Arsenal can figure out their injury problems. Because without our medic staff figuring that stuff out.
What causes Arsenal injury problems? Because I feel like it's every year. Like, there has to be something.
That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense. I don't get it. Like, if... I personally think
somebody has cost you. Nah, bro. You, no, not like you guys.
And tell me, don't you?
Let's talk about Liverpool. Liverpool versus... Leeds, yeah.
Mo Salah on the bench. Salah never kicked the ball.
Akan, what do you think? You watched the game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said earlier, I was like, this is a game like first things first, Liverpool. Before you think of anything about 3 points, first things first, close up the shop, lock up the shop, because I'm considering so much. And I think for that first half, they pretty much did it. I like how pragmatic and his lot is now, you know, dropping Salah, putting Szoboszlai over there. You know, he's trying to find a balance to, like, you know, balance the game up and just, you know, lock up shop first of all. And then second half, go and see if we could get a win, get a goal. And it was successful for the most part. First half was, 0-0. They were playing that game. Leeds couldn't play anything that first half, I'm telling you. Like, you know, it was more Liverpool playing, trying to create something. Second half, Ekitike, you know, I think he scored 2 goals in that game, right? Yeah, he scored 2 goals in that game. And everything was looking pretty much normal, like a good away day, 3 points, life is good. And all of a sudden, I don't know what got into Konate's head. I mean, I feel like it's very, very unfair to Konate, because I feel like he was actually going for the tackle to block a cross. You understand? So... But I think, should I say he mistimed it, or just the thing whereby when things are just good against you right now, there's no luck on your side, you know? And then they get the penalty, and then before I know it, and shout out to Daniel Farke, which for me, I believe, is my appreciated player this season. I mean, this week. He's not a player, he's a coach, but based on the fact that he was under pressure, literally from the board, they said if it doesn't pick up points against Chelsea, Liverpool, that's it. And that was like way too much pressure. And he was able to bring the right subs. Noto came in, you know, and before I knew it, it was 2-1, 2-2. Then Liverpool came in back with a 3-2. Then before, like, you can just tell it's scripted, it's bound to happen. You know, then last kick of the game, then 3-3. You know, it's crazy because... You have to feel for Liverpool fans. Like, you can actually see the coach trying something. You can actually see the coach trying new things. Like, you know, switching personnel here and there. Trying to, like, you know, balance, like, you know, set the ship somewhat. And, again, just the drop points. I don't know, with this Salah saga now, like they say, no one is above the club. I don't know if after they solve this Salah saga and this poor form keeps on going. I don't know if they're going to let slots go.
because I don't know how much more Liverpool fans can take it. But it was a pretty much, it was a game that I thought Liverpool would, like, you know, edge easily. But this is why we like football, man. This is why we have Minos in the game, to spring up surprises like this.
Anyway, yeah, Daniel Farke has had one of the best weeks of his life. Leeds have had an amazing week. For Liverpool, though, I thought Szoboszlai and Gravenberch are pretty good in the game. Kitiki as well. Does anyone have any thoughts on the game? Roger, Nnamdi, okay.
Yeah, I think I feel like Liverpool, to me, they've looked been playing better recently than their past few games. I mean, they've been unlucky with a lot of their scores and everything, but beginning of the season, they were so, everything they did was horrible, to be honest, and they just managed to win. And then I think it caught up with them. I think Slot is slowly figuring it out. I think Salah is going to be a scapegoat for sure, because he's technically, he's been their savior for so many years, and now he's going through a rough patch. And usually in a normal circumstance, you know, you'd still play him through everything and hope he picks up form. But Slot is fighting for his life. You know, and so he has to bench Salah. But me personally, I would still think you bring on Salah, you know, especially when you need a goal. I mean, I don't know, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think they'll still end up, of course, top 10, which is crazy to say. But I don't know where they'll really end up end of the whole season.
I don't think Slot will, just based on the fact he won the league last season. I struggle to believe that he will be sacked. I don't think that will happen. And Salah, at the end of the day, football is a what have you done for me lately kind of sport. In as much as he's a Liverpool legend, he'll always be a Liverpool legend. That can't be taken away from him. But you're, no one player is bigger than the club. At the end of the day, results is what comes first. If you're, no matter what you've done for the past couple of seasons, however many seasons, if you're not performing at the moment at all, especially when the club needs results, the coaches job is under risk, and you still expect to be on the first team on the team sheet, despite you obviously not performing. I just think that's that risk of entitlement, because he's basically saying, play me because of what I did in the past, not what I'm doing today. I think, yeah, you're accorded some grace a couple of games, but if you're not performing, you can't just force the coach to put you in the team. I think that's just, at this point, even though this is the first time he's releasing a statement in that manner, I personally think, given his age, this might be what breaks the camel's back, however you say it. Because, yeah, I think he's going to leave. And I don't even know who's going to be able to afford his salaries right now. Because he's on some crazy money.
I think, is it 400?
Yeah, he's on some crazy money. And his performances right now don't match how much he's getting paid. So I actually think Liverpool might cut their losses on him, as opposed to...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with the Salah issue, I think it's a thing of, you know, leave when the vision is the highest. Is that how they say it? You know, like, to have taken a bow last season, you did your bits, won the league, you know, have a good send-off and move on with your life. I just feel like there's time... And it's showing, football don't lie, it's showing now. Look at Van Dijk, it's 34, it's showing. You understand? Salah is 31 or 32. These things are showing, you understand? But I just feel like we all agreed on, you know, one is better than the football club. And like you said, football is about the present. You know, then we're not going to say, oh, you're a leader, because you're Salah now, leader of the club, take free 3 points. Nope, no one's going to give it to you. You understand? Last season, when they were playing, it wasn't tracking back also. But guess what? It was scoring the goal. So yeah, do what you're doing, you're Salah. You understand? But if you are conceding goals and you're not still tracking back this season, Oga, you have to do, something has to give. Something just has to give. And I don't blame Arne Slot at all. You know, now I don't know if Salah has tried to have like a conversation with the board or the club or Arne Slot, and then that's not pretty much yielded any output moving forward. Or if there was no conversation at all. I mean, he said that there's no relationship anymore with him and the manager. So maybe he's tried to have a conversation, then it's not happening, you know. But for you to go out there like that and then throw the club like that out, I don't support it.
Yeah.
You know, I understand how you feel. but there are ways to do things. You know, speak to your agents, speak to the club. I'm not playing anymore. I want to play football, football matches. You know, go to Saudi. Then when you're on the way to Saudi, release a proper statement. That's how it's done. But coming out to, like, you know, because look, now the team is struggling.
Yeah.
This team is, you can tell Van Dijk is crying for help. The team is, they're not winning games. They're conceding goals game in, game out. You understand? I think, and you know what's funny? There was a stat that Liverpool have conceded, I think, the most goal in the last 15 minutes of the game this season. And it showed again, you know, the team is literally struggling. So go out there and put yourself first when the team collectively is struggling. I don't think that's professional enough. I'm not against you expressing yourself. I'm not against you speaking up. But you know the sport you're in. This is football. You understand? This is a team sport. This is not tennis. You understand? I just feel like he could have picked his battles properly. You know, I get how he's feeling, but you yourself look at it now. You won't track back to defend. The team is literally struggling. Support the team. Support the manager. And then that's why there's a window right now. You're going to AFCON next week. Let everything all play out. Let you know, play his natural course. Then during the AFCON, you know, consult with your agents and get that Saudi big money transfer. Cause which I feel that will happen. You can tell from his body language, he was talking, smiling. You can tell it was something. You can tell it's done already. It's, I have a feeling there's a 99% chance this guy's leaving January. You understand? So I just feel like even if put the club first, man. You know, speak your mind, say your thing, but there's time. Like, you know, I feel like he did it right, not the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the time to do that.
Yeah, the Semenyo rumors might be true. But anyway, I think that should be all for Liverpool. I think Salah is going to go. I think we're all in agreement in that one. But I know you think Slot's about to get sacked, yeah?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I get what everybody's saying that because he just won the league. If the performances and the results keep dropping the way it is, they're going to let him go. This is football, bro. We let Tuchel go. We let Di Matteo go.
Yeah, but that's Chelsea.
I'm just going to let you know. Forget about Chelsea, just in context. No matter what you've achieved and won, like you just said, football is present.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep dropping points and losing games, they're going to let you go. Manchester United led that legend, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, go. He embodied United. Even after he left, he still did a passionate press conference for them. That, like, he embodies everything that United stands for. But that's, they let him go.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool let Kenny Dalglish. Is it Kenny Dalglish that left? You know, but my thing is, no matter what you've done for the club, if the present is not yielding results over time, the club will let you go. And if Slot is not able to fix this and the results keep dropping bad, I think that's 7th or 8th now. If they keep dropping points, they will let this man go. That song, that all those Anis lost, la 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 la, they'll create a new song for him. I'm telling you.
Of course, if they start going towards relegation, or even if they don't make Europe this season, they will let him go. But I don't think they'll let him go before at least maybe February, March. I actually think Amorim is more on that threat than Arne Slot.
You know, he had a board meeting, right? Before the West Ham game.
I heard.
He had a board meeting for the West Ham game.
Mm-hmm.
That if he doesn't win his next two games, or if he doesn't pick up points in the next two games, that's it.
Really? That's what they
said? I don't know if it's true, but there's a rumor that was circulating that there was a board meeting.
I'm very surprised, just given how long they gave Brendan Rodgers and how long, because Liverpool tends to give their managers ample time to solve problems. That's why.
I know, but look at when Klopp first came to the team, there were signs that were showing that this guy knows what he's doing. He's heading somewhere. That's Slot's coming, giving them the league. But football is moving fast. It's a fast-paced sport, man. It doesn't waste for anybody. What you did last season, thank you. You had your team parade. Life was good. Now it's now. You understand? But I just feel like if the results keep getting bad, there won't be a conversation anymore. It'll be like an email sent to his or a text message. You understand? I feel like it's gonna go if it keep getting bad.
That's fair. Anyway. Does anyone? I think we're done with the topic. So, does anyone have any bold takes or this bold claims before we end the pod?
Yes.
Does anyone United have bold claims? Namdi.
United is going to if United might draw on us tomorrow, and if we
against Wolves.
Yes.
Oh man. Damn, it's that bad.
I think United is probably going to draw or lose tomorrow. And then when we play Villa, I'm probably going to draw or win.
Do you think if you guys drop points to Wolves, they will sack Amorim?
Nah.
These guys are they have 2 points in the season right now, right? And they are bound for relegation.
This one, you didn't talk about
Omar. They not won a game this season.
We lost to Grimsby, fourth division. So this is what you are saying. You know, they shake me. Me and you feel play Grimsby, right? Maybe we just stretch, train for 6 months.
That's crazy.
They are not going to fire him.
I'll be surprised. I mean, I won't be surprised, but I'll vote. If that happens, I think I'm 60%.
If you guys drop points to Wolves, there will be a conversation. Yeah, a serious conversation now.
I think
I'm telling you. If you guys drop points to Wolves, there will be a serious conversation.
And I'm telling you, the conversation will be...
I know that...
The conversation will be, he needs more time. Let me tell you.
Nah, man, the game is gone if that's going to happen, bro. Or the game being gone.
The game is under the table. But... Anyway, guys, it's been a nice podcast. I know we have a Man U special coming soon, right after this. Namdi, hopefully you're going to be there. Well, it's been fun, guys. Cheers.
Nah, it was fun too, man. Soccer Takes with AK and 5-a-side and this wonderful guys here. Hopefully we'll do more episodes like this moving forward. And let's see, man. Nice one, man. Signing out.
All right, peace.